It was, I want to say, a couple weeks after that, the NFL came down with a suspension for Mike Hall Jr. This one happens about a month earlier, so we'll see how kind of that plays out. But you're going to lay out right now for us, JP, why the recent developments for the Browns might have already changed their plans.
All right, just from a pure football perspective, if part of the reason why I thought the Browns would have interest in Kenny Pickett and why I think they like Kenny Pickett is that Kenny Pickett doesn't turn the ball over much. And I thought their plan going into this upcoming season for the first few weeks, even though I thought Joe Flacco would still start, if they went Kenny Pickett, it'd be with the idea that they want to do two things, which is run the ball and play great defense. Basically, they wanted to do a poor man's version of the Steelers offense and what they've seen Kenny Pickett not thrive in, but at least play in before, and that's how they would end up winning a lot of games. Well, if Judkins is out and you don't have the run game, you'll still have a strong defense, but I wonder if instead of trying to limit turnovers and have the strong run game, if this then puts Joe Flacco in the driver's seat.
So I think that's interesting. There is a part of me that's like, you don't necessarily need a bell cow back to run the power run scheme or the outside zone scheme. But I can understand how if you're already juggling, all right, who's at quarterback? I can understand how if you can't get three tough yards, how that might impact the way you look at the quarterback spot.
I mean, I thought if Kenny Pickett won the job for week one, they were going to throw the ball 20 to 25 times, just a terribly low amount of times. Yeah. And then it'd be a lot of different running backs and a lot of different looks within the running back situation. But if you don't have a run game, if Judkins isn't there and it's just Ford and it's just Samson, and I like Ford and I like Samson, but if it's just those two guys, maybe this is where they have to pivot the offensive outlook and all of a sudden say, all right, Joe, we're back to letting you just let it loose and let it rip.
The math I keep trying to math with the Browns is, where do you get explosive plays from? And so this might run contrary to your idea. Jerome Ford and Dylan Sampson, I don't know if they're consistent enough to each get 15 carries a game or 20 carries a game, right? Whatever used to slot in for Nick Chubb per game. But I do think I think one of the reasons why Joe Flacco makes so much sense to me is I don't see you moving the ball with Kenny Pickett or Dylan Gabriel. I just don't. I see you dinking and dunking, and the reality is when that's the knock on you, you've got to then prove that you can do the other thing, and I don't think either Kenny or Dylan can do it. So that's why it's always made sense for Joe, specific to the running back. If you're Kenny Pickett, this might be mana from heaven, even though nobody ever wants this kind of stuff to happen, but just from the line of Jerome Ford or Dylan Sampson, the second they touch the ball, you might get a bunch of one-yard runs. You get one touchdown, that might open up the offense for you.
I just think Kenny Pickett's going to be asked. He would have been asked if we had Judkins and everyone there to basically game manage is all it is. That's what he is. He's not even a glorified game manager. He is a game manager, where now with Flacco, if you go against the grain and you go with Flacco and you let him just kind of rip it, that's your best chance of actually putting touchdowns on the board.
I think what's going to be really interesting is if he does face suspension by the league, and I think some people have assumed that's going to be a foregone conclusion. We haven't. It is really dangerous to assume anything this early in the proceeding. But if it happens, and if it comes to fruition, I think it's going to be really interesting when it happens. Because if you say it happens week 1 through 6, I don't know, Matt. I'm not trying to put too much on Quinshon or take anything away from Jerome Ford. Against those defenses where you're facing better defenses, you're going to need to get tough yards. You're going to have to find short yardage guys from somewhere, and it sure as hell isn't going to be Dylan Sampson at this point. And I still don't think between the tackles that's where Jerome's going to get you either.
No, you're going to have a lot of drives if it's the two of them. And I like both of them, but you're going to have a lot of drives because their home run hitting ability, where you have like, first and 10 turns into second and 9, that turns into third and 7, and then it turns into turnover on downs.
216-474-0092. Want to hear you guys on this. I like the way you laid it out. I think it makes some sense. I don't want to say it makes a lot of sense that this could impact the quarterback spot just because when you go to Kenny, you need everything in place. You need the offensive line to be healthy. You need Jerry Jeudy to be healthy and engage in the offense. You need a better David Njoku than he got last year. And you do need, specific to the running game, you need to be able to run for 150 yards a game to have a chance with Kenny Pickett because of his lack of arm talent. I think you're onto something, and it'll be interesting. Because I think there's math involved. It's not just Quinshon. But all right, what if What if DeJuan misses a game at the start of the season, or Ethan Posick isn't ready for? If you have some injury on the offensive line, I think there is some sort of complicated math, some arithmetic that says that just wouldn't be right to send Kenny out there unless he is because he is the epitome of what people talked about with Baker. You need everything around him where it needs to be,
right?
And heading in the right direction. If you're starting to subtract pieces, he's going to go from a guy I already don't think is very good to really being potentially problematic and just being teed off on because teams know you can't throw the damn ball down the field.
I mean, I would imagine, and obviously everyone in the Browns organization is upset with this news, but like Kevin Stefanski, if you wanted to go back to the old Kevin Stefanski, the original Kevin Stefanski, where you just run the ball and you figure out ways to use the ground game, like that's ultimately what he's been built his entire career around. Like this is a big detriment to that if you miss the first weeks of the season.
And it's interesting you say that. We've never seen, because this might be where the Kevin Stefanski, we're going to turn back the clocks to 2020, 2021, 2023. This might be where there's more faulty math. He's never done that in Cleveland, minus Nick Chubb, right? I guess technically you did have no Nick Chubb for all but like five quarters in 2023, but the running game wasn't good that year.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got by with elite defense and just enough plays, and then when Joe came in, it didn't really matter what the run game did because he just threw a bunch of touchdowns and got guys open.
Remember the last year with Baker? He only threw, I think, maybe like 28, 29 passes a game or whatever it was. But like before the season, there was a Matthew Berry report. Matthew Berry is a big fantasy football guy, as you guys know out there. But Matthew Berry had talked to somebody at the Combine, and they had suggested that Baker would throw 35 to 40 times per game. And it was like, oh, we're going to have this massively different offense. It's going to look different. It's going to be different. And then obviously the season went the way that it went. Like I think Stefanski is most comfortable with a quarterback that throws the ball fewer times than not and is able to just rely on a great running game.
So as mentioned, Zach Jackson was on with the Morning Boys earlier today and did break down the quarterback situation absent of the Judkins charges.
Based on what I think right now and who it would be, that would be Kenny Pickett. But I think it's way too early to say that with any, because like I guess I won't be stunned if Kenny Pickett's the week one starter. I think it's fair to wonder if Shador will ever play a real down. Do I think he has the talent to potentially be a starting quarterback in this league? Yes, but potentially eventually, not this September.
So we'll put the Shador thing off for a moment. If I'm Kenny Pickett, do I feel a little less secure in where I'm going? Honestly, he shouldn't feel secure the second they drafted the second quarterback.
Right, right.
But now that you're missing one weapon,
I mean, I think his odds went way down.
I don't know way down, but they're impacted.
If I were him, I'd look at it like they went way down. And now that sucks to look at it that way, because then you're dependent. Your skill set is dependent on other people being great or other people doing their job. But at this point in Kenny Pickett's career, that's who he is.
The only thing I'd say about that is I don't know athletes have that kind of self-awareness. I don't mean that harshly, but to get where Kenny's gotten or any of these other guys, you have to have such a supreme confidence in who you are and what you do and your ability to football that there's a part of me that I wonder if he's doing the math.
Yeah, maybe he's not. Maybe he's just like, I'll just put my head down and I'll train and I'll focus on everything and I'll let the chips fall where they may. But if I'm looking at this as like, is the deck now stacked against you with Judkins if he's out for the first 6 weeks? If you're trying to win the starting job week one, I would say it looks more stacked against you than it did 48 hours ago.
Jerry, welcome to the show. Jerry, what you got for us? Thank you for waiting, Jerry, for the call. Yeah, they're not trading Quinshon. They're not going to do that.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't expect that in the slightest bit. Now it will be interesting to see how he tries to get all his money and the guaranteed money with the second round pick.
Yeah,
I mean, does he hold out the way that the entire second round pick class minus two people have?
Because I think these are fair things. I blame no fan for thinking, cut him, trade him, whatever. That's the appropriate response to what he's accused of when you see it the first time or when you just think about it. That is a human response. I get it. It's not going to happen. And same thing to the idea of even the contract. Like if he does buckle on this and you see him sign a contract quickly, he himself might have overreacted to this, considering it is a legal proceeding. You have to take care of that. And whatever's going to happen with the league is going to happen. I would look at Quinshon buckling on his contract demands and being the next guy to sign his contract, and I would wonder, like, all right,
oh, you're really just trying to get the bag here?
Yeah, well, no, are you really taking the best advice?
Hmm. It's interesting. One detail out of the police report, I heard Jeff Phelps getting very angry about this earlier today, is the idea that he was renting out a Lamborghini from the airport.
Why did he get angry about it?
He was like, the way I was raised, you just don't spend your money that way. And he went through this whole story about him like driving vehicles that have, you know him with his minivan. He drives vehicles that have been around for 200,000 miles and such. But he definitely did like a, I was taught to basically not drive expensive vehicles. It's like, well, Quinshon, he clearly had an advance on what his salary was going to be, but he's a 21-year-old kid. That's what they do these days.
Yeah, Did Jeff also finish it and get off my lawn?
Yeah, maybe this was the one of their what's their segment where they ask Phelps, or what is it? Is it Askin Baskin and Phelps Helps?
Yep,
that's what it is. Phelps Helps. Maybe this is a Phelps Help segment. I'm not sure.
I mean, it's sound advice. We like that. It's also just not like what's the right word? It's not in line with the modern athlete and how they might be paid and how they might live.
I mean, he's 21.
Can you imagine Jeff Phelps giving like Quinshon Judkins or any young kid like he's
like
the,
sitting him down and being like, hey, so listen, the Lamborghini when you haven't gotten paid, maybe wait just a little bit.
Like Phelps Helps becomes like a program, like an outreach program. The Browns, because you know they have the rookie symposium. He's a part of the rookie symposium with Phelps Helps.
I actually think now we're swerving into something that could be beneficial for a lot of people. He's got a lot of really good advice for being frugal.
He is.
And you know I'm frugal myself, so I always like to hear it.
Yeah, you got to aspire to be somebody. Does the Quinshon Judkins situation, does this change who the quarterback is at week one? And hits and misses coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.